Okay, good vach, everybody. Always a schus to be together. And even though Matzah Shabbos is getting later and later, to learn together, to grow together, always very special. And hopefully, we'll at least go next time. If we have one more before Pesach in a couple weeks, then we'll have to figure out if we switch to Thursday night or figure it out as the nights get later. But Mir Tashem, we'll continue to grow together, continue to have chizik together, Torah together. And towards the end of Adar tonight, it's actually the yard site of the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech, Chosol Yogin Aleinu, 21st of Adar. And when Adar begins, this year we had two Adars, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha, everyone's so excited, really, with all the Simcha and anticipation, getting closer and closer to Purim, the Hil Giyantiv. And then Purim's over, and even though it's still Adar, there's definitely not the same feeling in the air. The emet is, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha, when you enter into Adar, we increase our simcha. It doesn't say anywhere that when Purim comes, that increased joy ends. We have to have that simcha. We have to continue with that simcha. Remember years ago, 17 years ago, my daughter Eliora was born on Yud Ches Adar, a few days after Purim. And she was born in a hospital in Brooklyn, Methodist Hospital in Park Slope. She was born at night, and I was there with my wife, obviously, and then spent many hours with her afterwards, and very probably 1 in the morning, 1:30 in the morning. So everything was calm, everything was good, and I felt comfortable. I could leave my wife and go to sleep for a few hours. And I'm driving back the road you take, the route you take from Park Slope, Brooklyn, to the Five Towns. You go straight down Eastern Parkway. If you know a little bit of Eastern Parkway, you think about 770 Eastern Parkway. 770 Eastern Parkway is Chabad headquarters. And I didn't have a Marav yet. Obviously, I was with my wife who was in labor, and every husband has to understand that. Tzira Avoda, that I think it's pretty simple to understand that, and the Rabbanu Shalom understands that you're going to miss Minyan at that point if that's what is happening. And I didn't daven yet. And I was passing by 770. And 770, when you walk into the Beis Medrash, there's a Minyan factory there. It's basically cornered off with machitzas, four different like little types of rooms, and there's Meirav going on till like 3 in the morning, I think, most nights. So I said, oh, perfect, I'm passing right by. I don't have to daven b'chidus, I can daven with a minyan. Show hodah, shevach and hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eliora's birth. And I go in, and they're minyanim, and I get to daven Meirav. And while Meirav's going on, in a little bit further in the Beis Medrash, by the main part of the Beis Medrash, I see like 50, 60 people singing and dancing. Mamish with like a couple instruments. So after I finish my Erev, I say, of course, what does a Yid do when you see other Yidin dancing? You go to join. Figure someone must have gotten engaged and they're dancing. So I go in and I'm dancing. It's good to dance. I just had a child, Baruch Hashem. And I tap the guy in front of me and I say, so what are we dancing for? He says, what do you mean? It's Chai Adar. First, I realized my daughter was born on Yud Ches Adar, Chai Adar, 18th day of Adar. And I, you know, we as Jews, we always like to connect to Chai, right? Chai is 18. You know, it's like when we give tzedakah somehow, it could be in denominations of 18, 18, 36. Chai is Gula for life, whatever that might be. Okay, so I thought Chai Adar is a special day here by Chabad. They're singing, dancing, very beautiful. Very nice, fine. Dance for a few minutes, I leave. The next night, and again, I was in the hospital with my wife, and I'm leaving the hospital a little bit earlier in the night, probably around 12 o'clock. And this time already I planned l'chila. I said, oh, I'll be able to daven Meirav, I'll stop by the same 770. And I go into 770. And again, they're singing and dancing, more people than the night before. It's a little bit earlier in the night. So I daven Meirav, and I go join again, and I tap the guy in front of me. He says, what are we dancing for? He says, what do you mean? It's Yud Tes Adar. And I realized by Chabad in 770, every single night of Adar, they're singing and dancing. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Simcha. Purim was already over a few days. It doesn't end the Simcha of Adar, the special Simcha of Adar. And I'll tell you, I know this is still going on. This past Thursday, I told the story to some Talmidim. This past Thursday night, which was Yud Tes Adar Mamish, a Talmud of mine happened to be in 770 and sent me a video of singing and dancing going on. And I'm sure right now as we speak, that they're singing and dancing in 770. And we as well need to continue the Simcha of Purim and to not stop singing and dancing as Yidden, even as much difficulty goes on. And Libi B'Mizrach, and we don't stop davening for Yeshuos and Refuos and Geula. But simultaneously with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by our side, and we know He's with us, we could be dancing. And not just on Purim, we have to take Purim with us. You know, there's a story, a chassid, he once came to the Beis Avim of Slonim on Purim, and the chassid was crying to the Beis Avim, crying tears of tshuva. Purim, we're very inspired. Purim, we feel closer to Hashem. And the Beis Avim looked at it and he says, I want you to come back to me tomorrow to talk. He was looking for inspiration in this chassid. He was looking for words of encouragement and some maybe Eitz Tova. And he said, I want you to come back tomorrow. What was the point? It's easy to feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's easy to feel who we all need to be on Purim itself. He says, I want you to come back tomorrow. Let's see what you feel tomorrow. And so to us, we're the days after Purim. Now's where we see it. We take Purim with us. We take that kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, even when He's not so clear. You know, Purim and Yom Kippur are very interconnected. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had a lot of avodah. I'm not going to go through the whole avodah of the Kohen Gadol, right? On Yom Kippur, by Musaf, we read through the whole avodah of the Kohen Gadol, all the different things that he did. And throughout the whole thing, he's constantly going to the mikvah and then to the kior to wash his hands and feet, which were modes of kedusha and tahara. The final time that he goes to the kior to wash his hands and feet is before the Kohen Gadol dons his big day chol, his regular clothing, when he finishes the whole avodah. When he finishes all the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash and he's putting on his regular day clothing, his big day chol, he has to wash himself again. He has to be metar and makadish himself again. It's the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed. And many explain that even you think with the avodah of Yom Kippur, the avodah of Purim, Yom Kippurim, such kaddish dik avodah, we have to be mekadesh and tahara ourselves, we have to purify ourselves for the avodah d'chol also, for every single day. Every day is an opportunity to get close to Hashem. Every day is an opportunity to lift ourselves up. And especially these weeks between Purim and Pesach, I want to explain something very deep. You know, today, I don't know how many were in shul, but today was Parshas Parah. Everybody goes to shul Parshas Zohar, and definitely there's more of a Chiyav Zohar, which is according to almost everyone, a Daraisa. Parah, some hold is Daraisa as well. The Yerushalmi says the following. It's Yerushalmi and Megillah. Bidinhu shetikto machodesh leparah. We know they're Dalet Parshas. We already had Shkolim and Zohar. Today was Parah, and next week will be Achodesh. So bedinu shetikdom hachodesh lapara. Really, parshas hachodesh should come before parah. That's not how we do it. But parshas, this is what the Gemara says. Why? Shebeechad nisan who kama mishkan, the first of nisan, which is rosh chodesh, they put the mishkan up. Ubisheni nisrafa parah. The first paraduma was burnt on the second day of nisan. So rosh chodesh came first. So parshas hachodesh should come before parah. Melama Parah Kodemes. Why do we do Parshas Parah first? She Taharatan L'chol Yisroel. Because it's our Tahara, it's our purification process. And we all need Tahara. We all need to purify ourselves. Now what does it mean? So Tahara is very important, and even though in order of days it should come later, we need Tahara even before we get into Chodesh. And I want to suggest what that means in the following way. What does Tahara mean? Tahara can mean a lot to all of us. But I think it means within the context of the Dal Parshios, I want to suggest tonight a new idea that Mamish came to me in the schus of our learning. The way that we could understand the Dal Parshios, these four Parshios that are read throughout the year and definitely are here to inspire us. I think maybe, I want to suggest that maybe the Dal Parshios all connect to each other. And it's one long yisod, one long idea to teach us something very deep. How so? I want to suggest in the following way. Shkolim is the initial, right? The first. What is Shkolim? I spoke about this. We spoke about this here together. remember if it was here or Ishkaya, whatever it was, our shir a while back, we spoke about this. Shkalim. Shkalim is to remind us the need for geula. Again, Shkalim were the masses of shekel that every member of Klal Yisrael brought to be used for Korbanos HaTzibur. It was every member of Klal Yisrael's connection to Beis HaMikdash. And Shkalim reminds us, Zeichel L'machzeh Shekel, that we're yearning for that. We're yearning for Beis HaMikdash. That what we have now is not enough. That we want so much more. We want a deeper connection to Hashem. We want a more revealed connection to Hashem. We want Beis HaMikdash. We want Geula. It reminds us we have to yearn for Geula. That's step one. That it's not enough. Sometimes we are so complacent. Sometimes we're so at peace with our lives here, especially though we have such beautiful lives, such beautiful homes, such beautiful communities. We have everything we could ever want. We're lacking a lot. And we have to remember that. And that's Parsha Shkolim to remind us. Even though this year, I don't think we needed the reminder at all. It's very clear to each and every one of us. But then we realize there's still a lot of evil, and still a lot, both physical evil, our enemies, and within ourselves there's so much that each and every one of us individually needs to be metaking, each and every one of us needs to fix. And that's Parsha Zachar. Zachar, remember Amalek. Remember Amalek, which is the epitome, is the pinnacle of bad in other nations, but also within ourselves, in philosophy, in who we are. So I need and want Geula, but let's remember, there's so much we still need to fix. Havi Raya, we don't have Geula yet for close to 2,000 years. So I Zachar, I remember. So what's step, the next step? Then I realize if I'm yearning for that Geula, but I remember that there's so much Ra, there's so much Choshech, Para. I have to be Matara myself. As we just read, that's why Para comes first. I need Tahara. I need purification. I need to be Matar, seemingly from Amalek, which we'll get back to in a moment. We're going to focus on that tonight. But I need Tahara, maybe from Amalek. And then if I'm Matar myself, what am I going to be ready for? Beretz Hashem will be ready. Bekarov, Parsha is a Chodesh. What is a Chodesh Hazel Lechem? His Chadshus, a fresh new beginning. We revitalize ourselves, revitalize our nation, revitalize our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Parsha is a Chodesh. So maybe. A new idea of how we understand the Dal Parshas. So what's our avodah right now? We just had Parshas Parah this morning. Our avodah is to be metar ourselves from Amalek. And so this amazing B'nai Saskar who actually brings that together. He doesn't say it within the Dal Parshas the way we just did. But he has an amazing remez. Listen to this. For these days, right now, he says, Purim really, Parshas Zachar is always right before Purim because Purim is Haman, we know, is the descendant of Amalek, and therefore there's this tremendous emphasis of destroying Amalek and getting rid of Amalek. And he says Amalek represents itself in three different ways: Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. What are the three entities of our life? Our Machshava, our thought, our Dibor, our speech, and Maisa, our action. Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. And you see this in the Psukim by Amalek, in Parshas Zachar, Machshava, Lo Tishkach. Don't forget, that's in my mind, but Machshava, don't forget that I need to destroy Amalek. Zachar, you have to say it, that's why we have to go listen to it. Shomea Ka'ona, it's like you're saying it. Zachar, Mamish, physically remember B'dibor, and Timcha, Timcha is Zecher Amalek, Timcha is to destroy, B'maisim in action. Amalek, famously we know, is Gematria 240. But there are three different ways you need to get rid of Amalek. Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. So what's 3 times 240? 3 times 240. You know, good math here. 720, trust me. 720. If you take the hours from Purim till Pesach, there are 30 days from Purim till Pesach, 24 hours a day. It's exactly 720 hours. So if we need to destroy, get rid of Amalek in these three ways, Amalek 240 in Machshava, Dibur, Maisa, my mind, my speech, and my action, we have these days from Purim until Pesach. to destroy Amalek, to get rid of Amalek. These 30 days. And that's why, by the way, the Zohar says in Tikkuni Zohar that on Erev Pesach is when Amalek will be destroyed. Tashbisu Sa'ar Mivatechem, it said on Erev Pesach, get rid of the Sa'ar, get rid of the Chamit. Chamit represents evil in our life, Chamit represents Amalek. And the Tikkuni Zohar says that's the culmination. And Mir Tashem is going to be this year. So our avoda right now is to be mitar ourselves from Amalek. This morning, Parshas Paro, we need to purify ourselves from Amalek. What does that mean for each and every one of us? This is all nice and deep. Starting with some deeper Torah tonight. But what does that mean, b'derech avoda? What does that mean for you and I? Because what does it mean that we need to purify ourselves from Amalek? What is that? I could say it and it's cute and we could give over the Torah, but what does that mean? What does it mean? Who is Amalek? What does that mean? So I want to read you the words of the Netziv in Parshas Peshalach. Right, there are two places it talks about Amalek. In the end of Kiseitze, which is what we read last week, Zohar, and at the end of Peshalach, which we read in Shul on Purim morning. I'm sure most of you heard the Megillah after. I don't know if you went to Shul on Purim morning, but if you went to Shul on Purim morning, we also lay in from the Torah. What do we lay in? Amalek in Parshas Peshalach. Vayavo Amalek. So the Netziv over there says the following. From Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Listen to what he says about Amalek. Because we think about Amalek, none of us know. If we talk about just physical Amalek and the obligation to destroy Amalek, none of us know who Amalek is. We don't have, even though there's a chiyuv for us to destroy Amalek, we don't know who that is. We can't prove it, even though clearly, I would assume Hamas is Amalek. You know, that's a pretty easy assumption. But Lamaisa, you know, real in action, what does it mean? So listen to the Netziv. The Siv says, "V'amalek kureishus goyim hasoine es hahashkocha tachlis sina." Amalek is the nation that hates hashkocha, hates the concept that Hashem is watching over us, that Hashem is involved in our lives, that Hashem is orchestrating all that happens tachlis sina in the most hateful of ways. Amalek is that power that destroys Hashkacha Pratis. That it destroys the philosophical idea that Hashem is by our side every moment watching over us. V'ptiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures us, Ki tagia shah, going to reach a time, She'yimcha zecher Amalek. We're going to destroy the remembrance of Amalek. What does that mean to destroy Amalek? It means we're going to destroy Amalek's stamp of approval that there's a world of nature free of hashkacha, free of the constant connection to Rabbeinu Shalom. That it will be destroyed. That concept, that philosophy will be destroyed. Zeharaton yanishkach me'ulam ha'olam. That desire to bring that into the world, that there is no Rabbeinu Shalom that's constantly involved in our lives, is going to be completely forgotten. And it's going to come a time where Hashem is king over the entire world. And everybody only sees that. Now you and I can't be concerned with the whole world seeing that. We see more than ever that we live in an Olam Deshikra, we live in a world of Sheker, a world that's false, a world that doesn't see right from wrong. But sadly, even in our own life, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we allow Amalek to creep into our minds and into our hearts, and we forget that Hashem is by our side every single moment, that Hashem is watching over us every single moment, that Hashem is orchestrating everything in our lives. And that's destructive to us. That's when the concept of suffolk, of doubt, creeps into our lives. We start to have doubts. We start to have doubts in our life. And there's nothing more difficult than doubts. We could deal with difficulty. We could deal with challenges. But when there are doubts, when I don't know how to deal, I don't know where the answer is going to come from, it's crippling. That's Amalek. Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech, the Pasuk says. They chanced upon us. Karcha, Melshin Mikra, chance. Chance means there's no orchestration from above. Things just happen. And when we would believe, lo aleinu, God forbid, that things just happen, and they're not orchestrated from above, it creates tremendous doubt in our minds, in our hearts. That's why Amalek is exactly Gematria Suffolk. Amalek brings doubt. Amalek brings doubt in our lives whether there's a Rabbi Nishalom watching over us bashgach every moment. And I lack clarity. That's what it is when it comes to Shiduchim that's so difficult. I know it's a hard parasha, and I know it's something that constantly needs chizik by so many of us. But the biggest, what's difficult about Shiduchim is the sveikos, the doubts, the confusion, the lack of knowing where the answer is going to come from. And we need to bring back Hashkacha and remind ourselves, the Rabbi Nishom is running the world, the Rabbi Nishom is orchestrating everything, the Rabbi Nishom is watching over me, the Rabbi Nishom is by my side. And when I really believe that and live with that Hashkacha in my life, I'm good, I'm all good. I'm destroyed when I bring Suffolk in, when I bring doubt in. I can deal with difficulty, but I can't deal with doubt, and that's Amalek. We have to defeat Amalek, we have to defeat that. How do we defeat Amalek? How do we defeat Amalek? Let's remember, how did Moshe Rabbeinu defeat Amalek? There's that famous image that we all learned as young children already, right? That we all know, Aaron and Hur holding up, and Moshe's hands were being held up over his head. And whenever his hands were over his head, he was destroying Amalek. When his hands were lower, somehow Amalek was being victorious. And obviously on a simple level, the Gemara tells us it wasn't some magic, it was a representation of us looking up to Hashem and knowing that Hashem is watching over us and knowing that Hashem is with us and we're destroying Amalek. But the Tzfas Emes, the Ligeret Rebbe, goes even deeper in this. Tzfas Emes on Parshas Zachar. He says something phenomenal. Our hands represent our actions. Our hands represent our everyday lives. Our head is our mind, is our understanding, is our intellect. Our understanding of this philosophical world. When I put my hands over my head, I'm saying I'm going to live a life even when I don't understand. I'm putting my hands that represent my actions in my everyday life. I put them over my head to say, I'm not going to understand everything. There are going to be things in this world which lack clarity, which have confusion. But I putting my hands over my head, say, I'm still going to do for Hashem because I know He's by my side. I know He's watching over. I know He's orchestrating it all. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all the answers. My head being on top is saying, I have to understand everything. No, I don't have to understand everything. You know what I understand? Hashem's running the world. There's Hashkacha. And then I don't have all the answers, but it's okay. And that defeats the doubt of the world. Doubt comes from, and the crippling nature of doubt is the necessity to understand everything. Is that my head has to be on top. When I put my hands above my head, I'm saying, no, I don't need that. You know why? Because I know Hashem runs the world. I have Hashkacha. That's Amalek. When my hands are over my head, I defeat Amalek. I'm with the Rabboni Shalom. When I'm with the Rabboni Shalom, it's all good. I got the Rabboni Shalom by my side. And in my decision making, I got the Rabboni Shalom by my side. It's going to be good. It's got to go and trust. I remember years ago, a few years ago already, if I'm not mistaken, this was January of 2021, I think. Pretty sure. A few years ago. I was in Orlando with my family. It's in Orlando. It's January 2021. Yeah, maybe 2022. I don't know. Christmas, whatever it was. A couple of years ago. And we're in Orlando with the family. And we're in Disney World. We're in Disney World. I happen to love Disney World. I don't want to say, and nothing compares to Eretz Yisrael, so it's like way down. But after Eretz Yisrael, it's like my favorite place, you know? I don't know, something about it, it's just full of simcha and just nice. And I'm a big fan. Big fan of Disney World. And so we're in Disney World. We're in the Magic Kingdom, right? Of all the different parks that has been in Disney World, right? We're in the Magic Kingdom for the day. We had a beautiful day. I mean, you got to know how to do the Magic Kingdom these days with all the different passes and things in the place. But you didn't know how to do that, you know? I don't know. You see, all the Yidden are running on every, you know, on and off. And you see the Umas Oilim standing on, like, hours line. You're like, they don't understand. But okay, whatever. Anyways, for another time we'll teach them. But Lamaisa, or maybe we don't want to, you know. So we had a beautiful, wonderful day. We were on all the rides and the shows. And then the end of the day, they have this, like, incredible fireworks show with all the Disney music in the background. Everybody's crying, you know. Maybe in Yavin, right? It's, like, really nice. But you know how it is. If you stay for that at the end, so, like, then there's suddenly, like, thousands of people at the same time leaving Disney World. So it's, like, it's a big balagan getting out of Disney World if you actually stay for that. But yeah, how do you not stay for that? Like, they charge you about $1 million to go. So you can't not stay till the end because you have to get it all in also. And it happens to be awesome. It's a beautiful fireworks show, you know? So we stay till the end. And then, we're, you know, you're going down that main street and there's, like, literally, like, thousands of people together going to the monorail to get out of there, right? And it's packed, and get on the monorail. And finally, like, you get on the monorail. And the monorail's packed, but at least you're on, and you're like, you can just, like, exhale, and you're like, okay, a few more minutes, we're going to get out of here, we're fine. And we get on the monorail, and the family's on the monorail, and we actually, like, got split up a little bit, whatever it was. And then suddenly, like, the monorail rides, like, 8 minutes maybe, I don't know, you know, over the water. And about halfway through, it just stops. And okay, that happens sometimes because, like, the one in front is a little bit taking time and they need to let up, right? But then it's stopping for much longer than we thought. And there's some issue with the monorail. And this is, like, you know, like 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. You've already, like, stood online with thousands of people to get on. And they suddenly announce, like, the last thing you ever want to hear, that we're going back. Like, that there's an issue and we have to go back. And we're going back to Disney World. And they go back, where, you know, the monorail can go both ways, so it just goes backwards because there's some issue with the monorail in front. And everybody's getting off the monorail, and they're basically, like, telling you, literally thousands of people, they want you to go the other way you can get out of Disney World is on, like, the ships, on the, you know, they have boats. But, like, the boats take forever. They have the slowest boats in the world, you know? It's like, you go get, they go, you never want to take the boat. It's like, that maybe when you were, like, a little kid, the first time you were excited, so you went on the boat, and you realize, wait a minute, that wastes, like, 40 minutes, and you're just wasting all your time in Disney World. Like, why would you ever take the boat? So, like, you know, you didn't take the boats, you know? I mean, even you get what I'm saying, right? So, but now it's the only way out, and now there's literally thousands of people getting online to go onto the boat, which is going to take you forever. I'm like, we're sleeping in Disney World. Forget the whole thing. Like, you know, they offer that, like, with the princesses in the castle. I don't know. It's worth it. Like, we'll pay for it. We'll sleep here. So I'm looking. I'm with the family. And we're like, we're not going on the boat. But the monorail is down and out. Boats. There's thousands of people trying to get on this boat. It's going to take forever, right? And then they have, you know, if you stay in the Disney hotels, they have bus service, like, straight from there to the hotel. Like, all these different buses. So I tell my wife and kids, let's go, we're going there. I'm like, what do you mean we're going there? We're not staying in the... No, you just got to get off. We'll get off Disney and we'll figure it out. But we're going to be in some random hotel and we got to get to our car. Just come. And we get on. And we just, like, they're telling us to go towards the boat. But I'm like, no, we're going there. And we get on to some... We just get on some random bus. Because I'm like, we're getting away, and we'll figure, once we get off, maybe Uber will find us or something, we'll figure it out. And we'll get to our car, I'll figure it out, but we're going on the bus, because we're not going to the boat. So we get on the bus, and we sit down on the bus, not knowing really what the plan is. And then, suddenly this other family comes on the bus. And we look, you see they're Yidden right away. And it was, like, strange, what are they doing, you know? And it must have been January 21, because you had to have, like, when you were on the bus and on the road, you had to have masks still. Back in those days, right? We're trying to forget those days, but just, so you couldn't see right away who it was, whatever it was. And then I see it's a family that I'm close to, the Woltuck family, whatever. And they get on the bus. It was the mother and a bunch of the children get on the bus, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Where are you? You're staying? I don't even know which hotel we were going to. You know, it was like one of the random wilderness adventure hotels. I'm like, you're staying in it? I'm like, you know, that's another thing. Like, you don't stay in those hotels, right? I'm like, you're staying in the, what are you doing? No. She's like, no. We noticed you, and we figured you know what you're doing, so we just followed you. Now, we had no plan. But she just followed. She just followed. And she says, Emunah, that's it. You know, we'll work out. She had no reason to follow, no reason anything, and she followed. Which ended up being all tremendous yad d'shmaya. Why? Because her husband actually left before the fireworks show to go get the car. He was already out before the monorail broke down. He was with their car. So perfect. Now suddenly, the bus takes us to some hotel, you know, right there. We call him. He comes and picks us up. He takes us all in his car. He drops us off by our car, and we're good to go. So because she decided that she's gonna mamish just with just the moon and just go with it. So that ended up not just did she get off, but we were able to figure out how we're gonna get out of Disney World. And that's sometimes the avoda in life. You know, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to understand how everything's working together. But we need that type of emunah in the Rabbi Mishlovel. Belief suffic. I have no doubts. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to follow. When I have doubts, it's amalek. I don't. With the Rabbi Mishlovel, there are no doubts. With the Rabbi Mishlovel, it's all good. And that's the avoda. That's the avoda of these days. These days, these 720 hours. To defeat Amalek and be Matara ourselves. That's the biggest pure. What is Tahara? We always think of Tahara, first of all, from physical Tumah, this Tahara, that was the Paraduma. And then we think of Tahara from Taiva and Temptate. Yes, that's also true. But the biggest Tahara of our life is just bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into our life in every single aspect. And I'm going to purify myself with those ashes. I'm going to purify myself with that Kedusha, that Tahara, and destroy Amalek. Because again, it's a system of yearning for Gula from Shkolim, then realizing I have Zachar of Amalek in my life. Para this morning will be mitar, so that I could have his chachas, I could have a parshas achodesh, I could have a brand new beginning. Bez Hashem's baruch, each and every one of us, to bring Hashem back into my life. That's the greatest or. We said from the Zohar that Amalek is going to be destroyed erev Pesach, so we're preparing now. Or lar ba'aser boitiz chometz, or la ba'aser. As it calls the night of Erev Pesach Or in the Gemara. Or, it's a light. There's no greater. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah Or, the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gives me clarity, that brightens my life. So in Sfarim, that's why we don't make a Shachyanu on Bir Chametz. We don't make a Shachyanu. Because it all started now. It all started now. It's one long process from Purim. And that's the connection as well. You know, Purim and Pesach have to be deeply connected. Right? We just had two Adars. And we celebrated Purim in the second Adar. Don't we have a concept of Zerizus? Zerizim Akdim and LeMitzvos. You have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Do it right away. So shouldn't Purim be in the first Adar? Shouldn't Purim be in the first Adar? Why is Purim now? Purim should be in the first Adar. Zerizus. Gemara says because we need Tzmichas Gula Gula. Purim always needs to be next to Pesach. Purim always needs to be next to Pesach. Why is that so crucial? Maybe because of what we're saying. Because it's a process ending on Pesach, and that's the Gula of Pesach. And that's the light of Pesach. Is Purim begins the process of getting rid of Amalek. And what Amalek specifically? The Amalek of the Gematria Suffolk, of bringing down to my life. The Amalek that the Nativ explains doesn't believe in any Hashkacha. Doesn't believe in the Eibishter's role in our life. That he's watching over us every moment. That he's taking care of us. Asher Korcha Baderech. Everything's chance. We have to put our hands over our heads. Say, I don't understand everything. I'm just going with the Rabbon Hashem. I'm following even when I don't understand. And I know it will work out if I'm with the Rabbon Hashem. I heard a story years ago from an official Shechter, and it's very, very important to note that it's from an official Shechter. You'll see why. Moshe Shechter is a big tzaddik, Tam Chacham, big speaker. I'm sure many of you have heard him before. He told a story about a woman, and I heard it from him. It was a Holocaust survivor. This woman went through tremendous, tremendous challenges and difficulty in the Holocaust. In her home, her parents, her siblings, she was the one, she was a little girl and very small, so she was the one they had in the basement. They had this, they had a trap door in the floor under the table, and they'd all go if the Nazis were coming close or anything and hide. And she was the one that would close the door and put like the carpet back on top, and she'd go and like hide on top of a, she was very small, was able to climb up and hide on top of some bookshelf and not being be seen. And many times she had to do this, and you can imagine a little girl, what she went through, the trauma of her life. And one time, unfortunately, the Nazis came and they found the entire family and took the entire family away. But she, they didn't see her, and she was the sole survivor of her family, this woman. She never saw her parents again, never saw her siblings again. And she survived, and she came to America, and she eventually got married. And Baruch Hashem, she was starting a new world. But unfortunately, she was unable to have children. For many, many years, unable to have children. For 12 years, she was not able to have children. And she was going, someone sent her that, on a particular day, she was going to this very, very big fertility specialist on Madison Avenue in New York City. She was traveling from Brooklyn, whatever it was, on the bus. She went to this top doctor. This was known as like mamish, an expert that she never saw. She was excited to get this appointment. The doctor ran some tests and checked everything. The doctor came back and with no rachmanis, basically looks at her and says, "Woman, I'm so sorry. You're never going to have any children. It's impossible. Biologically, you're never going to have children. You'll have children when hair grows on the palm of my hand." That's what this doctor disgustingly says to her. Mamish, he might have been a top doctor, but not a mensch of a person, whatever it was. And she was distraught and she was destroyed. She got on the bus. And she's just thinking about her life and thinking about all the difficulties she went through in her youth. And just for this to survive, to not be able to rebuild, not be able to have children, she was mamish destroyed. And she didn't get off the bus. She couldn't get off the bus. She was giving up. She was misyayish, in despair. And the bus goes and she doesn't get off the stop she's supposed to get off to switch to get it. And she stays on the bus the whole day till it's ready to go back. The bus goes into the bus station where it parks at night. And the driver gets up and looks and finds her on the bus and says, "Woman, what are you doing here?" And she says, "Listen, I have nothing left to live for." And the bus driver says to her, "Listen, lady, I've had a long day. But I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to solve your problem here on this bus. I think it's time to get off the bus." She got off the bus, and she looked up to Shemayim, and she says, "Master of the universe, I've been through a lot. And you saved me countless times, you brought me here, you let me start over." Bus driver's right. "You didn't save me to end up on a bus at the end of Madison Avenue." And she said, "Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm yearning for Yeshua, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to follow you no matter what, forever. I'm going to follow you forever." This is what she said. No matter what. 1 year later, she had a baby boy. And that child had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that would literally make the hairs on the palm of his hand of that doctor stand up. The official shechter, I heard him say this story. And he said, "I want you to know the story. It's 100% true." He says, "It's my mother and I'm the boy." She had every reason to have sveikos, to have doubts. She had every reason to be misyayish, to give up. B'derech teva, in the world of Amalek, the world of Asher Karcha, the world of no hashkocha, it's over. But she was a misyayish. She says, "I'll go with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going to put my hands over my head. Intellectually, I don't understand. I could have sveikos. I could give in, and that could cause me tremendous sadness. That's where sadness comes from. The Baal HaTanya says sadness comes from a state of being an apikoros. Sadness means that I'm not believing that Rabban Hashem runs the world and he's by my side every moment. On some level, if you stop and think about it. So I'm going to go with the Rabban Hashem. And that's how I defeat Amalek. And if this time in the calendar, from Purim till Pesach, is this time in the year to destroy Amalek, it's not just destroy physical Amalek, it's like the Siv says, it's destroy the Amalek that's Reishis Goyim, that's Soine Hashgacha. The Amalek that's Gematria Suffix, so I'm not going to have that. I'm going to believe in the Rabban Hashem, believe that he's by my side every moment. Believe that he's orchestrating everything. He's orchestrating those who need shidduchim. He's orchestrating those who need children. He's orchestrating those who need parnasa. It's going to be in the right time. He knows why and when, and there's so big calculations that we don't have a picture for always. But I'm not going to fall into the clutch of Amalek. I'm going to destroy Amalek. I'm going to celebrate Oral Arba Asar. I'm going to celebrate Pesach, Begula. My personal halavai, we're going to be zoich to Begulas in Klal Yisrael. But until then, I'm going to have my personal gula. My personal gula is I have Ashkacha, the Rabban Hashem by my side. The Rabban Hashem by my side, I can always be dancing like those Yidden, those in 770, every single night, they're in Adar. Mishnechaz Adam Arbim Simcha, that will continue to Nisan, to Ir, and to Sivan, with Simcha and Bracha for each and every one of you, and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.